The disciples were in a dilemma. Oh man, they were in a pickle. The preparations had all been made. The room had been secured. The meal had been prepared. The disciples had gathered. The guest of honor, Jesus, was coming. And they had all gathered together. And as was the custom in that culture, there would have been a basin of water near the entrance of the door so that the guests could have their feet washed. Now, I know that we don't practice this so much today, but in those days, they didn't have the paved roads that we do, and they didn't have shoes that we have, and they did an awful lot more walking than we would. So it was customary. It was necessary, even, that when a guest walked into your house, a servant would come and wash your feet. It was a common courtesy, and I imagine it was rather refreshing as well. There were times when I've hiked the Chilkoot Trail, and we'd get to a cool stream at Finnegan, and we'd put our feet in the water. We just sit there. It was nice. It just felt so good. And after walking miles in a dusty environment, and it wasn't just dust, by the way, that the people in Jesus' day walked in. I mean, those trails were shared by donkeys and camels, and they did their thing, you know, as they went along their way, and you might have been walking, and if you weren't really paying attention, oh man, did I really do that? You know, there is things less pleasant than dust to walk into. And so it was inevitable, really. It was inevitable that when you walked into a house, it was really important that you had your feet washed. And guess who got to do it? The lowest ranked servant in the household. The lowest ranked person got to wash the guest's feet. Not a very pleasant job, but one that was crucial nevertheless. This is what was going on in John chapter 13. And so here they were. Jesus had already sent Peter and John to prepare a meal, the Passover. The food had been prepared. The table had been set. The guests were arriving. Everything was in order. Everything was taken care of, except for the fact that it didn't seem that there was a servant assigned to wash people's feet. Perhaps it was an oversight. And I could imagine, I could just imagine how it took place. I'm taking a little bit of liberty here, but it's something like this, I'm sure. The first disciples arrived, and there's the room, and they looked around, and, oh, where's the servant? There isn't one. Oh, well, I'll just come in and, well, maybe the servant will show up any minute. I'll just sit down here. And then some more disciples would have come and they would have seen the first ones in there and looked around and, where's this? There is no servant. What's going on here? And, well, okay. And they might have went in and taken their place and didn't do anything. And some more disciples come and pretty soon the room is getting filled and people are probably, you know, looking at the ceiling. You know, they didn't want to cause a disturbance, and nobody really making eye contact with one another. And by now there's a dozen dirty feet in that room. A dozen pairs of dirty feet, I should say. And then Jesus comes in. And everybody looks at him and still there's no servant. Peter and John, you guys set this up. Where's the servant? Oh, man. I knew I forgot something. I had my mind on too many things. Oh, what are we going to do now? Well, somebody ought to wash at least Jesus' feet. Who's going to do that? Well, if I do it, Everyone's going to think I'm at the very bottom of the ladder. I'm at the bottom of the social pecking order. I mean, that's who washed feet. The person who was at the very bottom. I don't want to do that. If I do that, I'll get stuck with that job forever. They'll never let me go of it. I'll just wait. Maybe somebody else will take care of it. Maybe somebody else will. I really don't want to do it. I don't want to be stuck with that. And isn't that how it happens so many times? There's a task that needs to be done, and it isn't particularly enjoyable. I mean, not everything is pleasant in life. And we figure that, well, somebody else will take care of it. Maybe it's teaching children. Maybe it's building maintenance. Maybe it's thawing out a frozen pipe. Maybe it's the bathrooms. Maybe it's the elderly that need a bit of help. Maybe it's the youth that need transportation. Maybe it's young adults that need mentoring. Or maybe a mom that needs a break. Maybe it's the kids that need a father figure in their life. And there's these needs that are around us, and we see them maybe from the corners of our eyes, and we don't want to focus too much on them because, you know, we might feel that we need to do something about it. And we tell ourselves, well, I'm really busy, or I'm really not prepared for that task, or that's really not my calling, or somebody else could do it better. After all, I really don't want to get stuck with that job forever. You know how it is, especially in church. You know, when you sign up for something, you know, it's like you're it forever. You know, you hear of people who taught Sunday school for 60 years, you know, and then somebody comes along and asks you, hey, do you want to teach Sunday school? And you think, man, I don't know, 60 years? Do I really want to do this, you know? And I like to encourage people, you know, any commitment you make is for a period of time, you know. And there's the disciples during that Passover meal, and they're thinking, I don't want to be at the bottom. I want to be at the top. They'd already fought over that. If you go to Luke chapter 22, you'd see them that they're trying to see who's going to sit in places of honor around Jesus. They wanted honor. They didn't want to be at the bottom. They wanted position, prominence. They were wondering how they could get ahead of one another. And meanwhile, Jesus comes in. And he knows. He knows it's his last days. He knows he's getting ready. He knows he's going to be betrayed by one of the 12 men in that room that night. He knows he's going to be arrested, beaten, and ultimately crucified. Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly life, and there's the disciples scrambling to move up. After 3 years of ministry among them, the disciples still didn't get it. So Jesus does something radical. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. It was just before the Passover. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was around him. I imagine that there were quite a few shocked expressions on the faces of those disciples that afternoon. Jesus wasn't supposed to be doing that.
That wasn't his place. And yet, there they were. Every one of the disciples, they knew what was necessary. They knew what needed to be done. They had the capacity to do it. But every one of them had passed the buck to the next one. And so Jesus, wanting to show his love, gets up, washes their feet, and sits down. And then Jesus makes his point verbal. He spells it out, just so that there could be absolutely no question about it. Down in verse 15, he says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus sets an example that I should do what he has done for me. Well, what did Jesus do? What example can we learn? Number one, Jesus, first of all, got up. He got up from the meal. Now, it would have been certainly easier for him to stay where he was. I mean, he had already traveled. He was busy. He was tired. He was stressed. He had betrayal coming. He had accusations coming. He had crucifixion coming. He probably, you know, if anybody thought, "I deserve a little bit of rest now. I deserve a little bit of comfort. I'm going to just take it easy. Somebody else, would somebody else please do this? I'm just going to sit back now. I've done my thing. I want to be comfortable." He probably deserved all of that. But instead, he got up. He got up from the meal. He interrupted his comfort. One of the greatest challenges we face, one of the greatest challenges that I face, if I could be transparent, is trying to get out of my comfort zone. And I find the closer I get as I approach in another 10 years middle age, closer I get to middle age, the more I like to be comfortable. I have my spot on my couch. I got it right there. I have my coffee in the morning. I have my life ordered in such a way that things go pretty much the way I intended and planned. At least when they do, I like it that way. I have things ordered so that I'm comfortable. The challenge is getting uncomfortable. The challenge is getting out of my seat, getting up from where I am. The challenge is getting out of my comfort zone. And in order to be a servant, in order to show the full extent of our love to God and to one another, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God. And to love your neighbor as yourself. God showed his love to us right here. In order for me to show my love for God, and often that's done as I show my love for one another, for somebody else, in order for that to happen, yeah, there are times I have to get uncomfortable. I have to leave my comfortable little nest. Jesus got up from the meal. Secondly, he took off his outer clothing. Now, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of this, but I can't help but wonder if it's significant that Jesus had to lay something aside. He had to lay something aside before he was able to do what he needed to do. He had to let something go. It reminds me of Hebrews 12:1, where it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Let us throw that off. There are things in our lives that they're not necessarily bad, but they hinder us just the same. And I wonder if we aren't hindered sometimes in serving, in showing our love, because we've simply taken too much on. We've got too many responsibilities. We're involved in too many things. And if we're going to be involved in serving, in showing the extent of our love to others, if we're going to take the time to serve as Jesus has shown us, chances are that we have to take something off. We have to let go of something. And sometimes, again, I don't want to admit this too loud, but sometimes the thing we need to let go of is some of the busyness in our own church activities. Again, don't get me wrong. I love it when people are involved in the life of the church. It's essential that we are all involved in some way. We're all part of the body. We're all needed, every one of us. But there is such a thing as, there is such a thing, it's hard for me to say it, as being too involved. Particularly if you have other responsibilities. If you are married or have children, but not necessarily restricted only to those. You may have other needs, other responsibilities, family, other loved ones. We are too busy. We keep taking on. We keep piling up. And we forget that somewhere we need to let go. I remember thinking, you know, if I buy another pair of pants or if I buy another shirt, I got to get rid of one of my old ones. You know, if I don't get rid of one of my old ones, I'm not going to bring in a new one into the house because they just accumulate. They just keep adding up and more. And you can't do that indefinitely. Sometimes we're too busy. Our plates are too full. And sometimes in order to serve, we need to take something off. We need to deny ourselves in some way. We need to let go of something that hinders. We can't have or do it all. We can't. You alone are not the answer to all of the world's problems. You can't do it all. I can't do it all. You alone cannot save all of Whitehorse. I can't do it. You can't do it. But we have a part. And sometimes if we take too much on, we forget what's really important and we can't do what needs to be done. Jesus got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. In other words, he laid something aside. And thirdly, it says Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin. And simply being that he undertook some preparations. Sometimes we're eager to serve, but we're not so eager to invest in preparing. We want to jump into things headlong. But serving, even good intentions, require preparation. Sometimes that preparation means prayer. It means setting time aside in prayer, praying about something. Sometimes preparation means planning. You know, how are we going to do this? Well, I'm going to need to do this and this and this, and we're going to need to involve this and that, and it just takes planning in order to prepare to serve. We have intentions of going on a missions trip, our church. We have people that have been meeting to plan that. We can't just show up at the airport tomorrow and pull out our wallet and say, hey, we're ready to go. Where are we going? What are we doing? How are we getting there? You know, it takes planning. Sometimes we have to plan. Sometimes preparation means training. Sometimes preparation means practicing. Our music team, our worship team gets together. They practice. Other people, when they want to get involved in something, it takes practice. In some way, To serve really does take some preparation as well. Jesus prepared himself. And then fourth and finally, Jesus simply began to wash his disciples' feet. After everything else, he had to do it. He had to get up and it had to be done. He had to get his hands wet. He had to get his hands dirty. He had to bend down. He had to do it. And at some point in our lives, when we talk about being a servant, when we talk about extending the love of God, it's not, we have to put the talk aside and just have to do it. Got to roll up those sleeves and make it happen. Those of you who know me know that I love it when people not only say, this is what we need to do, but they say, here, I'm rolling up my sleeves now. I'm going to get at it. And I say, hallelujah, let's do it. And we need that. We need that. The point is that servanthood didn't just happen. It was intentional. Jesus, he got up, he got rid of, he prepared, and then he began. He didn't just talk about serving, he showed them what servanthood was all about. He didn't just talk about loving one another, he began by showing them, by actually displaying what love looks like. He didn't just give them some theoretical head knowledge, he gave them a very practical lesson. And what was Jesus' motivation in all that? We find the answer back at verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And I've got a couple of questions there for us to think about this morning. Jesus showed the full extent of his love. It meant he had to get up, he had to let go, he had to prepare, and he had to get his hands wet. Who is there in my life? Who is there in your life that needs to be shown the full extent of God's love? Who is there in your life that needs to be shown the full extent of our love, my love, to that person? Who needs your love? Who needs to be shown that you love them? Who needs to be shown that God loves them? Take a moment. Think about that. You probably already know. And then along with that question is, how am I going to show God's love? How am I going to show my love to that person? What do I need to do? What do I need to get up out of? What do I need to let go of? In what way do I need to undertake some preparations? And how do I get started? How do I show? How am I going to show God's love or my love to those who need it the most? Jesus didn't do this display in John chapter 13 just so that the disciples had clean feet. I mean, yes, he did do that too. But he did that to show them what love was. And he said that, as I have done, this is what you need to do. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as I am challenged myself, how can I show the full extent of God's love to those around me? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you this morning. And Father, we want to thank you for the display of love in Jesus, in his servanthood, in doing what nobody else wanted to do, in humbling himself, in lowering himself, literally lowering himself to his disciples' feet. And Father, I pray that you would give each one of us here, you would give me and each one of us here, a heart of servanthood as Jesus showed us. Lord God, that we would not look at things as, oh, that's for somebody else, but we would ask, how would you want me to be a servant in this particular way? To whom may I show the extent of your love? How can I show the extent of your love to those around me? And Father God, as we know that this is one of the most important things that we could do, to love one another. And so I pray, Father, that you would help us to take on the example of Jesus into our own lives and to actually show how we love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.